It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Have 5 daiquiris?
You remember to do that.
I fell asleep by the pool for a few hours.
Did you fall asleep or did you pass out?
Shitter!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 of Mail-In and Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. It's great to have them still on board after the 10K. Very supportive of the boys running the 10K last weekend. I feel like our next guest in studio could still run a 10K in under an hour. That would be our main man, Dave Poulin. What's happening, Pooley?
I may be able to run it a little under an hour, but I'll tell you one thing I'd never do is leave my wingman, ever, in a race. Like, that's code.
Gutless move?
You never, ever leave a guy you signed up to run with in a race.
Well, or call him big fella.
What do you think of that, Paulie? Calling people big guy or big fella, big man, condescending?
The next time I did it would be the first time I'd ever done it.
You don't do that to people?
No.
Hmm.
Because they... You don't know how they're going to take it.
Yeah, although I always thought
that's a term that, you know?
I always thought he accepted it as a term of endearment. It turns out, I guess that has not been the case.
Kind of more as the big dog than...
I've been calling him the big guy for quite a while.
And today it expired?
Today the milk finally, it went bad.
So,
wouldn't you say, Jonas?
You know, like, through a good portion of my career... Hang on a second, I got to fix this. Chair, through a good part of my career, I spent a lot of time picking up gloves. Just take them to the penalty box, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I thought I was going to have to do that when I came in today. I was kind of hoping I was going to have to do that when I come in today.
No.
Pick up a guy's gloves and take it over to the box and say, good job. Nice job out there. Nice.
No. We know how to straighten out our problems. We could have it out and just be fine after a commercial break.
I'm not. You're looking at the wrong guy.
I think it wasn't me.
It wasn't going to be pretty.
He's a non-factor. Non-factor.
What do you do, though? What would you have done if you had a nickname over the years that you didn't like? Like, did you ever have one?
No. Nope.
You're not allowed to do that because as soon as they find out you don't like it,
ignore it. Ignore it.
In this case,
there is someone texting in saying, wait a minute. Based on guy code, if O claims he doesn't want to be called big guy, that means you have to call him big guy. You might have an issue on your hands. But
do you ever think he's maybe messing with you and he really likes it and that's the way he's going to get you to do it?
That sounds like some Trump stuff. And
no.
Reverse psychology. I like that
way
idea.
Way higher than Trump.
What do you think set O off more in the first hour? Was it Jonas claiming that the Ducks, even though they've won their division and they're in the conference final, somehow shouldn't be in this position because the process...
A little bit out of context, but okay.
Why don't you explain your theory to Dave then?
Yeah, they've heard it.
No, but explain it again for the new audience.
What I was saying is their process isn't as good as it was the year before, essentially, in one sense.
Do you even understand what that means?
No.
I don't either.
In a word, no. I can tell you that if that is your feeling on the team... In Anaheim, it's probably your feeling on the team in Ottawa, too. You probably don't like what they do, either.
I don't love it.
It's great,
isn't long,
it?
Is it long-lasting? Like,
it's lasted 4 weeks, and...
You know how hard it is to win? Why can't you just enjoy
and now,
the success, but instead you're picking apart a team? Two teams getting
that's
in the
my
final
job. Field. What do you, am I just supposed to congratulate everybody?
So what
to
about
this
the
point,
other...
Yeah, it's like, good job. Let's see what you do in the, if they get pumped in the semis. You say, oh, they didn't do this or they didn't do that, but to say... They don't deserve to be there, or
that's not what I said.
Well, their process you don't like? That is bizarre.
That's not bizarre. That's the reason Randy Carlyle was fired here.
So if I go to a bar and pick up a hot chick and I wheel, what are you going to say? You did it, but I don't like the way you approached it.
That's
I don't
not like the your same process. Thing at all.
It's actually the perfect analogy.
It is the dumbest.
Like, just go up really... to a dime and just say, hey, you want to do some work?
No, you go up to her and say, you're ugly. What do you think of that? But you somehow pick her up.
Do you like being called
ugly?
That's
basically what it is.
It's the perfect analogy. But guess who's going home with a missile.
That's right.
Yeah, but if you do that 82 times, the likelihood is 81 times. It's not going to work.
It's a good response. Good counter, Jonas. This is actually starting to even out a little bit.
I think O is clearly in the playoffs, and I believe there are four teams left in the playoffs. And to say you don't like their process.
Why was
Randy
fired here? Any of you guys can answer.
Well, I don't think the team was quite good enough, so that probably
hurt him. It was the middle of the year.
I think maybe the expectations had got carried away.
They were in a playoff spot.
They were in a playoff spot. Right. And
exactly. They didn't like the process of how they were there.
But I'd also suggest, and I wasn't in the room, but something tells me Shanahan was more confident than people thought that he was going to get Babcock at the end of the year.
But then you could just fire him at the end of the season.
Maybe. But maybe
not
they
maybe for sure. What would be the difference?
Okay, but maybe there was a part of him that was thinking, let's tank here. Let's really complete the tank. Let's start to bottom out and try to get this McDavid kid. Maybe this isn't
then
our,
you
in
don't
our best
need to
interest.
Fire the coach.
You think that Carlisle would have done what Horacek did?
What did Horacek do?
Nothing. That was the point. They were abysmal under Horacek. Do you really believe that the Leafs would have had the same final 2 months under Carlisle that they did under Horacek?
I have no idea. They had a history at that point.
Yeah, but you do know.
Meltdowns.
You do know.
You
that
do
the,
know, Jones.
I
mean,
I don't. How do we know?
Okay,
well, the way
Jones.
People were moved out and the way that.
Oh, that's true. That's fair.
But you really don't. You don't. You think you saw that team on a daily basis.
Yeah.
They treated Horacek like he was a substitute teacher.
Yeah.
They bailed on him, and it was horrible. I don't believe they would have done that to
they
Randy.
They didn't
no,
do
it's
it
probably
with
fair.
Randy before that.
That's probably fair.
So I'm not saying they would have like stayed in a playoff spot. I think they were starting to fade, but I don't think they drop to where they drop.
So
I think they picked 7th instead of 4th.
Right. So maybe a better way to put it is organizationally, it was a message that said, we don't like how we're doing things under this coach, and we're going to change it now. I don't know.
What don't you like about the process in Anaheim?
Anaheim's still a great team. Like, that's the thing. They're
so
still...
what don't you like about the process? I don't.
You
I
can look at...
Type in your... Get your numbers ready.
I don't understand what you don't like about the process.
Underlying numbers. So the puck possession.
God, this is okay. It. This
you don't
is,
know, this okay, so
insanity.
I can present this even simply for you. So they were the second best puck possession team in the league
Please
last
talk
year.
To Dave.
Number two. This year, I believe they're 18th.
Okay, and
you do not think that is...
And who's number one, L.A.?
No, actually, Boston was number one.
Good. They're doing well right now.
Yeah, but...
There's where your numbers can go shove
but that's
them right
not
up your
how,
ass.
The point is, you want to do things a way that is going to be conducive to long-term success.
And are you still going with pure Corsi for possession?
No, this is like all adjusted beyond my cognition.
But I think the whole possession thing...
Yeah.
Has come around from what it originally was thought to be Corsi shots on net, that whole thing.
Well, because you can adjust it in all these
you
ways.
Can. You yeah. can. And I've had players tell me if I don't have a play, man, it's going at the net because that Corsi is now a number I can use in arbitration.
And that's probably
you can
a good
use
thing.
Fancy stats. So if I don't have a play,
good.
I'm not putting it in a good place or cycling back. I'm throwing it at the net because that's Corsi plus. I just,
so
I've had the conversation.
Should we discount the numbers then?
So players
say
have told you that?
The numbers. I'm, oh, yes.
Players have stated that?
Flat out.
Right.
Flat
I've heard indirectly coaches say that I know my players are doing it. Now, I don't know how that really factors in. If everyone is thinking the same way, then
no,
everything's going to even out at some point anyway. I think what has happened here is that everyone has accepted the importance of puck possession.
I don't think that's true.
You don't believe that that's the case?
I don't think that everyone's accepted that. I don't think that's... Look at what's happening here.
No, but this isn't about not accepting. This is about you not accepting that sometimes, even though you don't own puck possession, you can still have success.
Oh, I can accept that 100%.
Because it's happening right now in front of our eyes.
What don't you like about the process? You don't like the underlying numbers.
Do you think it's a good idea to be outshot more than outshoot your opponents, generally, is the idea?
I really like when teams win. I really like that. Like, I think if you go through a seven-game series, two seven-game series, mm-hmm. and you're able to win both of them, and you finish first over the course of the year in your conference.
Right. But that's a really small sample size. That's like
a year?
No, I'm saying you said two playoff series.
And finishing first in your conference over the course of the year.
Right.
That's a pretty big sample size.
Who finished first in their conference? Anaheim didn't finish first
in their division.
In their division, they did. Chicago was first in the conference.
Yeah, they were first in their division.
And Minnesota, I think, might have been second. There's your boy, Brucey Boudreau, again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, listen, we're in a situation here where you've got four teams that are playing really well. I would suggest Pittsburgh has to be the favorite right now, but the more you think about it, the more you wonder how Ottawa is going to approach this series. I mean, I don't think this is a foregone conclusion.
If you're in the belief that Ottawa has no chance, I think you're dead wrong on that. You know, there's a possibility that Pittsburgh, they played a lot of hockey. They showed signs of fatigue a little bit in that Washington series. And Ottawa's just got some mojo going right now. They got a good thing going. And
I think this is a favorable matchup for Ottawa. I don't think they wanted to see Washington. Washington would have been far too physical for them. And you could see in Game 4 when they were really starting to beat up Carlson, but they couldn't continue that. The smartest thing that they did was sit him in that third period of the fourth game.
You're right.
Because he was getting run over in that game for whatever reason. And they weren't able to do it. I don't see Pittsburgh being overly physical with Carlson because they don't have that type of team. Who's going to, Connor Sheary going to run him? I mean, he'll bang into him. He's mini-me, right?
You can't catch him anyway.
No, but I think Ottawa is really going to give Pittsburgh difficulties in this series. Pittsburgh hasn't seen a defenseman like they're going to see in number 65. And they just haven't. And that defense is well-balanced. And I can see Carlson matching up against Crosby, which leaves Phaneuf and CeCe to play against Malkin's line. Mm-hmm. I think. And the thing about a couple guys in Ottawa are pretty banged up. Stone was one of them, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's had a little bit of rest now. I don't know. I think it's going to be a really good series. It's going to be a good skating series.
I found it interesting. I think it's the right move. But Marc-Andre Fleury will continue to be the starter for Pittsburgh. But I'm not convinced he runs the table here.
I think he's going to get, I don't know, if he has a bad outing, he could get the yank.
Which is exactly what happened last year. Just
I think you could see two goalies in this series for Pittsburgh.
Right. Yeah.
Well, how long do you wait if you're Mike Sullivan? Like, let's say Fleury has a bad game one.
For me, it's not that long.
Game two?
It depends on a lot of things. How's Murray practicing? Does he, you know, I mean, that could be a factor.
I think he's got to have a feel about it.
You know? Yeah, it's a feeling for him. Hmm. Murray was his guy. I mean, he made that clear.
Deservedly so.
Yeah.
Well, he won them a Stanley Cup a year ago, and it. I would.
You
believe
like his process?
He's guy
good.
That will
and
carry
in the last couple of years. Good. In the last couple of years, guys have needed two goalies to get to win the Stanley Cup. And teams have needed two goalies to get there. Pittsburgh needed two. Chicago needed two goalies to get there.
I don't see any of the other three teams doing that though. I mean,
Condon. You could see Condon
for Ottawa.
Yeah, you could.
And you could
see really
JB.
Have to go south. JB. Johnny Burns? Yeah, but like that's like, okay, it's a bad
mop
night, and Gibson gets pulled. I'm talking like actual controversy or a conversation revolving around the idea of flipping goaltenders.
Gibson didn't have a great second round.
He didn't have a great season, yet Randy went back to him. I know, but Bernier, like this team, like the Ducks went on fire in the final
Bernier,
20 games, and Johnny Burns
down the stretch.
Yeah. Bernier
was
the guy.
That's what I'm saying.
I hear you, but I feel like that's an organizational decision where like Gibson's the young guy, they want him to be the guy. Bernier's a UFA at the end of the year. He'll probably walk, I would think.
I think it was the same thing last year. I think the organization probably wanted Gibson to be the guy. I think he started games 1 and 2 against Nashville in the first round. Didn't play well, and they went to Freddie.
Right, but Freddie had been jockeying for position for 2 or 3 years with him.
True.
Like Bernier, when they acquired him, even though he was getting paid what he was getting paid, there was no argument over who the number one guy was. Mm-hmm. It was clearly going to be Gibson. They were turning the page. He was going to be their guy. Bernier was going to come in and simply be a backup. When Anderson and Gibson were going back and forth, it's a lot like Murray and Fleury. They both had the capabilities of being a number one guy. Now, I could be wrong. I mean, if Gibson's awful through 2 or 3 games and Bernier comes in and steals one, then the conversation might heat up. But
if you're ranking it, I think he's number two.
Probably, yeah, because Rene is not coming out of the net, clearly. And Anderson, it feels like outside of Carlson, he's got to be Ottawa's MVP, doesn't he?
And he's a guy that's going to have to step up. And he can't have those games where he has those unbelievable saves. And it looks like he's having a good game, but when you look at the scoreboard at the end of the game, there's 4 goals on it.
Yeah, you know what's funny about that, though? They've won a couple of those games.
Oh, for sure they have.
5.
They won the one we were there.
Yeah, great game. And he was, you know, he will give up that
goal. If they're going to get by, though, he's got to lock it down to some degree.
But most of his mistakes have been puck handling.
Oh, I know. He should have the Artur Zerbe treatment where it's like, do not leave the net.
Glue him in there.
Well, you got to be careful. You're right. Dave Poulin in studio. The Leafs, I guess, are on the verge of potentially signing a couple of Swedish free agent defensemen. I'm curious to find out if Leaf fans feel as if the next Zaitsev is right around the corner, and as a result, their hopes get way too high, and then you realize in camp, actually, they've just signed two American Hockey League guys. I don't know these players.
Zaitsev played 7 years in the KHL. 7 years.
But he came over here and stepped right in and was a legit top four defenseman.
Absolutely,
from
but
day
I'm saying
one.
He was a 7 year pro. You know, that's a pretty established player. That's a rarity. Yuri Letira, he'd been over earlier, but he came back and stepped in for St. Louis at center.
Mm-hmm.
Very rare.
So when they sign these guys, and it sounds like it's going to happen in the next couple of weeks, what are your expectations?
Well, it depends on a lot of things. I mean, you could be at a good situation contract number wise, and you don't see yourself signing some of your immediate draft picks. So you could say, okay, you know, I'm going to go out and I'm going to bulk up to 50 contracts and build like that. But there are exceptions. There's late bloomers over there for sure.
Well, that's the position of need. I think they're going to be active. Like, I think they should be active. I think they should be looking to make a trade to acquire a defenseman that they feel could either develop into a top four guy or step right in and be a top four guy.
It seems like there's going to be more trading partners this spring than there's been in a really long time for a variety of reasons. Anaheim, for one, with the depth of their D. I mean, they've got arguably not. We're not counting Simon Dupre. Mm-hmm. He missed the whole year.
Well, and that other Swedish defenseman they took a couple of years ago, Jakob Larsson.
Yeah.
He's highly touted.
He's going to step in and play. They feel he's going to play.
Right.
Montour and Tator have shown that they can play. They got a lot of young guys.
Well, and don't you think there's opportunity with the expansion draft with teams that aren't going to be able to protect all their D? Wouldn't you rather, if you're one of those teams, go to a team like Toronto and say, you know what, give us a first-round pick and a prospect, and you can have
there is,
player
but
X.
You also have to expose a certain number.
Right.
You have to have the catalog in place to be exposing someone who's played 40 or 80 over two. And, you know, you have all those different factors and under contract for the next year. So it sounds like, yes, that's feasible, but purely logistic-wise, it might not be.
Well, the Leafs are in a good spot, though, with that. Like, they don't have to protect many players, so they can't
get
flexible.
They had to sign guys to make guys
available.
Yeah,
Ben Smith
being the latest one.
Exactly.
But that's the point. Like, if they acquire a guy, it doesn't really complicate their protection list.
No, and that's why I think they're in a better spot than a lot of teams.
Yeah.
They
pretty funny some guys being
that.
In that position this year where they got 2 year deals at $650 a year and they were kind of career minor league guys because they had to have those guys slotted to be available.
Right.
A little bit like winning the lottery if you're a minor league player and
it's a great position to be in.
It's
like Al Montoya is a legit quality backup, but he got 2 years from Montreal, and I think in a lot of ways it was because
you had to expose somebody.
We got to expose somebody. Mm-hmm. And he's sitting there saying, all right, if you're going to expose me anyway, tack on another year.
You had to have that.
You had to have that. Yeah. It's a great situation to be in. But, yeah, I look at also the free agent market. Like today, Kevin Shattenkirk was talking to the media in Washington, and he said he wants to go somewhere to be a number one defenseman.
What the hell is he talking about?
Based on the way he just played, he's going to be in some trouble, or he might be waiting a while. Or he's going to have to go to a team that has horrible defense.
He's going
to
go to a team
one.
Like Tampa Bay or somebody that just needs an upgrade on D. He's going to get paid. People will forget about his performance.
He's
going to
get
paid. Yeah.
He'll get 6-7 years, you think?
Kendall got it last year.
And he's a lot older than Shattenkirk.
Very similar situation, though.
Went to Florida, right?
Yeah, but he went to New York in a trade and didn't really do much. And that offensive player.
Going back to Washington, and we did a hit on Ovechkin today. Does management sit in a boardroom? Does anybody put up their hand and say, what are we going to do with Ovi?
Absolutely.
That question is
absolutely
asked.
Absolutely, that question be asked. It has to be asked. But what I referenced was, it has to be asked in the boardroom without the owner being in the boardroom, but any decision has to be made with the owner. That's a GM to owner one-on-one that says...
So it's the meeting in the boardroom without the owner, and then the GM goes to the owner and says...
Sits down and says, we have to talk.
Wow.
But do you think you could actually trade him at this point?
Absolutely.
Really? With that contract, with what he is now?
Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe.
He's only 31 years old. He's out of 12 years, he's finished first in scoring on his team 10 times and second twice.
But he has a $9.5 million cap hit.
He does, yeah.
For four more years.
There are like big signs of decline this year.
Yeah, I would be very cautious.
33 goals this year
is
You know? But, like, he used to be, a lot of that is on the power play. Mm-hmm. So maybe he can just be a power play specialist, but can he be a power play specialist at 9.5?
He's a shooter. He's a goal scorer. That's what he is. He's not a complete player
right.
like Sidney Crosby is. That's not what you get. You know what?
Neither was Brett Hull, but he won a couple Stanley Cups.
He did, and but later in his career, he went to the right spots.
The right spot, the right slotting.
And he was further down the lineup. Like that, by the time he got to Detroit, he was on the third line. Like, Brett Hull was not the man in Detroit.
But the $9.5 million cap hit
exactly.
matters.
Oh, totally. And the thing is, to your point, he's a guy, he can score from anywhere in the offensive zone.
So if you have that slot, I think his chance to stay in Washington is for those other kids to get so good. Kuznetsov, Burakovsky. Can some of those kids get so good that he can be more of a Phil Kessel on Pittsburgh than he is an Alexander Ovechkin on Washington?
I think that's where it's leading. But he also benefits from playing with maybe the best playmaking center in the league.
Tremendous
center. And that's something you got to consider if you're another team trading for him. Mm-hmm. Like, people keep bringing up Vegas. I don't see Ovechkin waving to go to Vegas anyway. But let's say, hypothetically speaking, he decided to go there. He's not scoring 40 on that team. Who would be passing him the puck? If he's a guy who sits in the slot and blasts one-timers, who is going to feather sauce passes to him in Vegas? So that's another thing you got to consider. He can score when he's on the power play with Backstrom putting it on a T-form every night. But if he's playing with a guy who's a third-line center.
I don't think he would have any interest in Vegas.
I don't think he would either. I wouldn't take him if I was Vegas.
Right.
I think it would send the wrong message that we're in it just to compete with Cirque du Soleil and Copperfield and, hey, come watch the amazing Grade 8. You know, come out here and sell tickets and buy jerseys. I think they have to be very careful. Like, if they want to be taken seriously and build a culture and build a system and a program that is conducive to winning long term, you can't be thinking about jersey sales.
Yeah, and don't forget who was a GM in Washington when that all started with Ovechkin.
And
but,
he gave him that contract,
but,
right?
Well, no,
the
he
owner
didn't.
Did.
The owner
right.
did.
Okay,
and that was all the owner. I mean, you think of what that franchise. When I played there, we were in Landover, Maryland, in a terrible rink,
dump,
awful rink, one of the worst rinks you've ever played in, outside the city. We lived up by Baltimore. The whole team lived up by Annapolis. And so you didn't have an identity as a Washington Capitals team within the city. And then the move to the new rink, and I'll draw a little bit of an analogy here in a second, but the move to the new rink, the unbelievable building, the sellouts every night, the first place. Ed Snyder didn't make his fortune before he owned an NHL team. He made his fortune from the NHL team. He credits Bobby Clark with making him a billionaire. Now, Ted Leones is a little different because he had his fortune going in. But what does he credit the Verizon Center and the success of the Washington Capitals and everyone wearing red jerseys and all those things? There is a link and a loyalty there that's beyond.
Every kid in Washington wears a Alex Ovechkin jersey.
And by every account other than a cup, that is a huge, huge success, that franchise. By the way, did you see the Pimento Brothers commercial?
Yes.
Yes.
That is a very quality drink that they made.
Did you see that, O?
No.
We'll show it to you in the break.
It's pretty spectacular.
He's making I think it's a White Russian.
He's making a White Russian and just pouring it on the bar, and he's pouring all the ingredients on the bar and says, another Russian with no cup.
It's greasy.
Very creative.
Pretty good.
Does the injury news with Ovechkin, the hit on Kadri, and the fact that he got injured, I think, in game 3 of the series, change your impression of the way everything played out?
Me?
Sure.
No.
Me neither. Me neither. And I think hockey somehow has found a way to patent the injury news after everything is said and done.
It's like a media ritual now.
It really is.
I think Ovi's hurt.
I think he was probably hurt too. But
I think he's hurt.
He still
there was no explosion. So when he's hurt, if it is a groin or a knee or something that you find out, I've played with those types of injuries. I played 1 year with two serious groin issues, and I was wrapped in literally those neoprene rubber wraps from the top of the hip right down to the knee. Was I skating at, 60%, 70%? But no explosion. Like, you could be in the right place at the right time. He got into a couple battles in the one game against Pittsburgh. One was with Ollie Mata, which Mata clearly won. The other was with Matt Cullen.
Who's 39 or 40?
40 years old.
Yeah,
and there was no push. There was no
His problem is he's been doing that at 100% health in the playoffs for 13 years.
Well, but how much
losing 50-50 battles.
How good was he before the injury? in the series against Toronto.
Yeah, he wasn't going end-to-end and skating like Bobby Orr. The problem that I have is with bringing up the injuries afterwards. Like, I will use Erik Karlsson as an example. He's playing with more than likely a fractured foot or a broken foot. Mm-hmm. He's playing unbelievably well. We're praising him through two rounds. But if he plays horribly in this round and then gets hurt, guess what's going to come out? Well, he's injured, though. Well, you can't claim injury just when you play poorly. But when you play well, all of a sudden, it's not a part of the conversation.
The rule is the rule. Jersey goes on, you're 100%.
Exactly. And I feel like with Washington in particular and the bubble around Ovechkin, the protection around Ovechkin, every year there's a reason why he didn't factor in. Every year it's not his fault. And I know it's a team sport. Of course, it's not solely his fault. Of course not.
Yeah, no, I put a lot of blame on him. There's no question.
There's always another reason. There's like a lot of people, well, it's because of the setup of the NHL playoffs. This was a cup or bust team in Washington. So if they lose to Pittsburgh in the second round or the third round, it was still a failure.
Doesn't matter.
It wasn't just about getting to the conference finals. This team was favored significantly to win a cup. So it doesn't matter the way the bracket sets up. That doesn't make a difference. But people are giving them that ability to say, well, what do you want out of them? They play the second best team in the league.
I don't think people are giving them that.
Well, I got into it on Twitter with one guy who decided to reference that.
He knows how to get you going on Twitter, get tweaked.
I guess it was actually my original tweet that tweaked him.
Glenn.
And then
what's that?
Glenn.
Now does that make a little bit more sense?
That's great.
I would assume it probably makes some more sense to you now. All right,
Glenn
Pauline.
Jumped all over him for some Caps tweets.
I had one tweet about how, like I just said, there's always an excuse, there's always a reason. Every year they lose in the first or second round, and it's, well, it's because of the bracket. Well, because Ovi was hurt. Well, at some point you just got to call a spade. They can't get it done.
The bracket does annoy me, though. I hope the NHL will look at that.
I don't think they're going to change it. Gary's so stubborn with that kind of stuff.
But just think
about it. He almost likes it when it gets fueled like that.
He does. It's like he loves getting booed at the draft.
If you called him big fella?
How would that go over? Well, he doesn't come on this show anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I'm sure we could say a lot of different things that it won't factor in. All right, Pooley. Good seeing you, buddy.
Okay, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for popping in.
Yeah. Glad I got Owen Jonas back on the same page.
Hey, they're buddies again.
Looking a little ugly there.
Yeah, the process was great, Dave.
The big guy and the little fella.
The process. You know what? Dean's probably. I went to the conference finals six times. We probably had a terrible process. So I went to the finals three times. We had a terrible process.
I didn't even use the conference setup in Ottawa getting to the conference final. I could have used that too. So,
dude, you're.
So who was the best team? Well, you said Boston was the best team.
Here, I can get it for you right here.
We don't care.
Run down the top 10.
The top 10. Boston, LA, Washington, Montreal, San Jose, Toronto, Nashville, Carolina, Columbus, Chicago.
And how many of those teams are still playing?
Exactly one.
Great.
Anyway.
Great.
How do you even make an argument with that garbage?
Okay, but so the five worst, Arizona, New Jersey, Colorado, Vancouver, Buffalo.
So you're better being in the middle band.
No, you're just
top band doesn't get there, and the bottom band doesn't get there.
You want to be right in that middle part if you can.
That's the newest stat. You got to be in the middle band.
Good point. All right, Pooley, good seeing you, buddy.
Okay, guys, take care.
There's Dave Pullen, our TSN hockey analyst. Jonas Siegel from the Canadian Press is in here. We'll get to future headlines later in the afternoon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. Jeff tweeting and saying, that was a great buddy you just dropped on Pooley as you let him leave the studio. I guess I did say, all right, buddy. It happens. Don't mean to be condescending.
You say it to Ray a lot. All right, buddy. We got to fly, buddy.
I guess it's a crutch. I don't know. It's a way out of things. I just won't call you big guy anymore, and we'll move on with our lives. Or big fella. All right, future headlines. We might move this up because I think we're going to catch up with Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Ottawa Senators. I think he just landed in Pittsburgh, game one tomorrow night. So we'll catch up with Pierre at some point. You guys see that Tom Brady's going to be on the cover of Madden 18 and New England Patriots fans.
He says there's no curse.
They're freaking out that the curse is going to finally catch up to Brady.
I wouldn't go on that cover. No way.
It's not worth it.
It would have had to have been, like, he would have had to have the option, right? Do you want to be on this?
Absolutely.
I would have just said, not a chance in hell.
So if EA Sports had come to you after your 40-goal season and said, Jeff, we want you to be on the cover of the NHL video game.
How much money's involved?
Probably a fair bit.
I would think.
$1 million?
Yeah, I would say at least $1 million.
But, Jeff, the one thing we have to tell you is numerous players who have gone on the cover of this video game have gotten hurt or suffered injuries or their teams have sucked. Would you still do it?
For $1 million, I would.
That's the thing. When it comes to money, I think I'd probably look past the curse. Although I feel like Brady's the one guy that will destroy the curse. Like, this will actually put a bow on the greatest career in NFL history.
We'll just go 16-0?
Yeah, if they go 16-0, win a Super Bowl, this guy wins another MVP, then he officially, like, it's not even a debate anymore. He's the GOAT, end of story. But you look over the history, I was reading it today. Like, it really began, I guess, with Marshall Faulk. He came off that historic season, I think it was in 01. And the next year, his numbers fell off a cliff when he was on the cover of Madden. And then Mike Vick broke his leg in preseason when he was on the cover. Donovan McNabb had injury problems. His numbers were really bad. It was the same year that him and Terrell Owens got into it. Like, that drama really exploded the year McNabb was on the cover. And then Sean Alexander went from, I think he was league MVP, to on the cover, and then he dipped under 1,000 yards rushing.
And he was out of the league.
Gronkowski was on it, I think, going into this year, and we know what happened to Gronk. I'm with you. Like, I really, if I had that kind of money, and Brady's got that kind of money, what is $1 million really worth? Is it worth,
like, what's
your
Brady
time?
Worth? Is he worth 100?
Oh, he's got to be worth more than that, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. So piss on the million, then. I would just say no thanks.
Who said it was $1 million? It's probably more than that.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, that's got to be the highest selling, one of the highest selling games in the world, right? Madden?
What's the cover worth, though? There's got to be a way to find that out.
Yeah, let's try to investigate that as much as we can. I'm not thinking James Harden, your boy Jonas, will be on the cover of NBA, what is it, 2K18? After his game last night, and I actually went last night because this is something that I love to do. Whenever there is a horrible outcome in a big city, do yourself a favor, go online and listen to the local sports radio station. And last night in Houston, there was, you would think the world was coming to an end. People calling in, calling him a coward, a choker.
Harden?
Loser. Yeah, James Harden. Because of the way he played last night. In a closeout game at home, they lose by 39 without Kawhi Leonard and without Tony Parker.
Well, it would have been one thing if he was just, like, struggling with his shot. He wasn't even taking shots. No. He looked like he was, like, really tired and just, like, not engaged in the game right away.
Well, did you see Stephen A. Smith, I guess, after the game went on ESPN and started just throwing grenades around that maybe he was drugged before the game?
Seriously? He didn't
drugged.
Say that.
I think he said it tongue in cheek, like he was being facetious,
but that's how it looked.
He
it
said
looked
he
like
looked
he was
drugged.
Out of it.
He really did. Like, I was watching the beginning of the game and I'm like, what's with this guy? Like, the beard really looks like he wanted nothing to do with the game last night. Like, this is where I don't always trust every journalist. Like, we talk about journalistic integrity and going to journalism school. Some guy tweeted out last night that he heard from an executive in the league. Obviously didn't name the guy. So an anonymous source, and the executive in the league was asking if it was worth investigating
whether
if Harden
drunk?
Was shaving points. Like, some shady character in an alleyway went to him and said, I'll give you $100,000 if you lose by 35 plus tonight. Like, that obviously didn't happen. I don't believe that that would ever come to fruition, but the idea that anyone would have that thought pop into your mind.
The idea that he would play like that in a game like that is, it would make you start wondering.
And that's why I would hand out the MVP awards. I would hand out the awards right after the regular season.
Well, they used to do it, I think, early in the first round, and they changed it just this year. They've taken the NHL's idea and actually are doing an award show. I think Drake is hosting it.
Drake is going to host it.
Huh?
Drake
Can
is going to host
it. Can you imagine now, like, if Harden wins the MVP, how weird it's going to be?
Side pieces.
That's, the thing is, it doesn't change what he did. He had one of the great regular seasons in NBA history.
Yep.
he and Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard. But when you watch LeBron continue to play and continue to play at the level he's at, all it does is hammer home the point that no one is better than LeBron and no one is more valuable.
It's the Jordan thing.
Because if you flipped Harden in Cleveland, guess who's still playing?
Yeah, for sure.
Or Harden and LeBron. If LeBron is on Houston last night, I think that series is over in six. Hmm? I think LeBron carries Houston to the conference finals.
Do you think it should be the same in the NHL? Like, Crosby is the best player, and he's probably going to finish up runner-up for the Hart for the second straight year.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we all acknowledge he's the best player in the league. But I guess
I don't think it's the same. I think it's apples and oranges because of the sport, because right. One player can have such a dominating presence and factor into the way every single game is played. Basketball, it's just such a different beast.
But you can see with Carlson, like, in a different way, how much value, like, I don't know,
I think that, like, the Norris debate is going to be interesting, because I don't think it's going to be a good look if and when Brent Burns wins.
I don't think he will win. Do you think he will?
I think it's at least a coin flip, Burns versus Carlson. I mean, you got to give it to Burns. He had a great year as well. It's nothing against him.
I was talking to Bobby Mack about this. I've never seen a defenseman where an award was such a shoe-in, and then such a shoe-in that he's not going to get it within 1 month. 1 month, and everyone was like, nope, he's not my guy anymore.
Well, he went really cold.
He did. But have you ever seen a guy where it was like, this guy's winning? Give him the Norris.
By the way, I found how much they get paid. This is actually really surprising. This is from May 2015. It's a Darren Rovell tweet. Madden cover over the years has typically played between 100 and 200K.
No, then I would definitely
not worth it at all, then. 200K for Brady? That's nothing for him. Like, if he blows his knee out in week five,
watch out.
What does the 200K do for you? All right, we're going to get to future headlines. Pierre Dorion, the GM of the Sens, will join us. We'll recap and revisit our conversation with the GM of the Jays, Ross Atkins.
Veteran move.
Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
Austin Matthews, 4 goals! Do you believe this?
Or...
shifts were too long, got caught out there, turned the puck over, dug it out of our net.
Or...
Patterson with the electrifying throwdown!
Or...
everybody... wants to get paid, you know, and I'm one of those guys included.
Overdrive, future headlines.
All right, we're moving up future headlines here.
Pencil neck edition. You guys ready to rock? You know how this works?
You know, I don't like when people call me pencil neck.
I don't like the process chief. In which you said that, big fella.
Look at you two guys. It's like two toddlers going at it all afternoon.
Listen, big guy, just get to the headlines.
I'm enjoying it. Future headlines brought to you by 2-for-1 Pizza. Tweet at Overdrive 1050 or text 105050 your most outrageous future headline every Friday for your chance to win free pizza courtesy of your friends at 2-for-1 Pizza.
These are potential newspaper headlines for Monday morning.
Or long-term, I think.
Or long-term. Select which one you think you might see as a headline. The two road teams set the tone in the conference finals as Nashville and Ottawa jump out to early leads. Or... the veteran cup-winning teams establish home ice as Pitt and the Ducks dominate game one.
So I can only pick one of those two options?
That's
I
how
the
two game. Options.
I have the...
I'm with you. I kind of think Nashville Pitt might win, but you got to pick one or the other.
So I'll go with the road teams because I think there's potential for Ottawa to steal game one.
Road teams have performed very well in the playoffs this year.
I'm going road teams as well.
I think Nashville might just continue to rock, man. They're
playing so well. I think
Nashville
are going to win the Stanley Cup.
Very possible.
Are their numbers okay with you?
They're good.
Call the Mutant Ninja Myrtle. See if he agrees with that.
And that trade looks okay in hindsight.
Subban's been playing well. Yossi's been playing well. Who do you think's a better defenseman? Who would you take to build your defense core? You take Subban over Yossi?
Yeah, wouldn't you?
I don't know. Yossi's a pretty good player.
They've been using Subban against top lines. So, anyway.
Look at you. So now that matters. I thought when Jake Gardner plays against the second and third and fourth lines, he still should be considered the better defenseman than Riley.
That's not what I said.
Anyway, okay. Anyway. We're not gonna dig up old graves. I'm going to make this a sweep, actually. I kind of feel like Nashville is going to set a tone tonight. I think they're going to win. And Ottawa, Pittsburgh's coming off a high. Like, them beating Washington, I think it might take them a game or two to realize, okay, wait a minute, let's just keep plugging away here. And Ottawa, I think it's imperative that they really do make some noise early in the series. I kind of expect them to do that tomorrow night. I'll go with the two road teams.
Erik Karlsson continues to make his case as the best player in the world, as he's clearly the best player on the ice throughout the series, or Crosby goes alpha dog on the Sens and makes it very clear why he's considered the best player of his generation.
I'm going to continue to roll the Karlsson bandwagon here. I think Sid will continue to play well, too. But I think if I'm picking one guy who's going to be the best player in the series, I think it'll be Erik Karlsson again.
I have to agree. Like, watching him in that series against New York and before that against Boston, he is on a different level. And he plays half the game, so we're going to see him more. Jeff?
I think Sidney Crosby always kind of makes his...
At some point.
Yeah. I'm going to go Cross. Although Karlsson, man, it's tough to bet against what he did against every time he steps on the ice.
Doesn't it feel like he could have the opportunity to be the first guy in a long time to win a Conn Smythe, even if his team doesn't win?
Yes. He might go Jaguar on this.
Right. Like, let's say it's Ottawa, Nashville, and Nashville wins. I could see Karlsson getting the Conn Smythe.
We'll have to ask Pierre. We're getting Dorian on.
Yeah, Pierre's supposed to join us, GM of the Sens, in about 10 minutes.
We'll try to get him to answer the question, because I bet you for the top 50, all the TSN people have to vote on it. You vote on it too, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you Erik Karlsson will get some number one votes.
He should. Now that you think about it, like, maybe he should have been number one for Hart.
I take that listing very seriously, and I will have to think long and hard about Erik Karlsson as the first guy.
I'm going to find out where he ranked coming into the season.
I had him in the top. I about taking it seriously. I hate doing it.
I had him in the top 10,
I
clearly.
I do it in 3 minutes.
That's how much respect you show to it?
I'd put him third right now.
You don't even do it, so.
I don't work for you.
There you go.
Well, look, okay, so he was, wow. I think he was ninth.
Last
year? Coming into the year. Yeah, he was ninth.
He's no more than three this year.
I'd go Crosby.
Guess
one.
Guess who was eight? Ovechkin.
Ovi.
Oh, man.
Number eight. Well, Ovi, I'll bet you, he might drop out of the top 10 for the first time.
He might drop out of the top 20.
Yeah, for sure.
He might drop out
of the top 30.
That's a better question. Where would Ovechkin be going into next year's top 50? Because his reputation has taken a pounding this year.
I bet you it's 20-something.
He didn't have a great regular season either.
And his underlying numbers, like, they're starting to drop a little bit. They are.
Fewest Steven Strength goals of his career.
Yeah. No, you're jumping on the underlying. I've never heard you say that word.
I'm just pointing out that you can look at it multiple ways.
He's on the right side.
Aaron Sanchez returns from the DL looking rusty and agitated as the Mariners smack him around on Sunday. Or the 2016 version of Sanchez finally makes an appearance, putting any doubt about the fingernail issue in the rearview mirror.
I think he comes out and goes right back into Cy Young mode.
That's where my head's at. It's been
a terrible start for him. It was an aggravating injury. It was an unlucky injury. And then he comes back, he pitches one inning and goes right back on the DL and missed another, whatever it was, two starts. Obviously, I don't think he has enough time now to get back into Cy Young conversations. I think he's missed too many starts, more than likely. But he's too talented. He's way too talented. I'd like to believe they're finally past this fingernail issue. And I think he'll pitch really well.
And if he's ready to pitch, you would assume he's going to pitch well. So,
Colin Kaepernick finally signs with an NFL team and has the opportunity to battle for the starting QB job. Or his skills lacking in political activism, still a hot-button issue. All 32 NFL teams take a pass on the cap.
I think he'll get a shot somewhere.
I think they're going to pass.
I think he'll probably get signed at some point.
I think it
might take an injury for him to get signed.
Maybe. I mean, this is like, it's such a hot button topic because you're talking about race, you're talking about political activism in the United States right now. The country's so divided, it's such a polarizing topic. You have to point out that he's not a top 20, 25 quarterback in the league anymore, but he is a top 64 quarterback. He's one of the best 64 quarterbacks on earth, which means based on that alone, he should be in the league. At some point, I think a team will say it's worth it to bring him in. But as much as you might hate it, the fact is, in the NFL world, this idea of being a distraction can be very selective, because some distractions they'll sign and bring on in a heartbeat, but some they run away from, and I think that's more than likely what's happening. Sure, there are a few coaches that are like, I could probably use them, but I don't know if I want...
I don't want the nonsense.
The media to show up every day and want to be talking to him every day, and I think that's where he's at right now. All right, Pierre Dorion will join us, and we'll recap our conversation with Ross Atkins, the GM of the Jays. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.